Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Sunday Morning Alive right here on our website. I want to thank you for coming today to hear and to give heed to the Word of God. I've had a message burning in my heart for months, really, and I continually revert back to that God has just burned into my heart, into my spirit, into my mind. That is that we should be, as Christians, heaven-bound believers. Heaven-bound believers. And that we're really preaching, teaching on a subject of the heaven-bound church. If you're a heaven-bound believer in Jesus Christ, who have believed on Him, trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, then your thoughts, your mind, all of your energy should be focused toward Him and heaven. First Him and then heaven. Amen. Let me give you our basic scripture that I keep going. I believe I could preach on this till Jesus comes and someone would find something in it that is relevant to them right here and right now. And it's Colossians 3, verse 1, 2, and 5 for our foundational scripture for this truth that God wants us to hear today. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Now, before you see the heavenly city, before you see golden gates and foundations of precious stones and golden streets and angels and loved ones, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Heaven is not about the city. It probably seems that way to us because we're looking at it in that lens. But heaven is much more than gaining a mansion, living in this glorious city above that's coming down and is going to be right here upon the earth where we will dwell with our loved ones. Of course, that's going to be important to me. Most of my loved ones are already there. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Where Jesus sits on the right hand of God, listen carefully. Seek those things above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Here's the promise Jesus gave us. He said, I go to prepare a place. That's the city, amen, that we're addressing here today. That is above, of course. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. So we know we're going to have an abiding place with Him. Mansion means abiding place. We see it as the grandest home that we could ever envision. He says, this is just a place for you to live. The issue isn't where you live, but why you live there. Listen carefully. He said, behold, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Hear it clearly. Where I am, there you may be also. The purpose of the city, the purpose of the place He's prepared, is so we can live together with Him forever. So seek those things above. Don't initially see the city. That's the place. But see the person that has built the place, provided the place, provided the grace that we can go to the place. Hallelujah. Amen. Where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Hallelujah. He wants us to live with Him forever. That's the reason for the place. That's the purpose for the grace, that we would go to heaven and we would live with Christ and our loved ones and each other forever and ever. God, of course, sits upon the throne, but He sits upon the right hand of God. Hallelujah. I and my Father are one in their rule, in their purpose, in their thoughts, in their actions. Listen very carefully. If you be risen, if you have experienced spiritual regeneration and you've been resurrected from dead works, to serve the living and true God. If you're a true Christian today, seek those things above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set, verse 2, your affection on things above, therefore, and not the things of the earth. We're warned to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is of the world, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then when we get down in verse 5 of Colossians 3, it tells us to mortify or put to death our members which are upon the earth. That's simply saying to crucify the flesh and the lust thereof. And you can't do that if you're in love with the world instead of in love with Jesus Christ. When you fall in love with Jesus, amen. I like the song. This world, the things of the world, grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Hallelujah. Amen. This running and winning this race, this endurance race, it's not a wind sprint that we just come out of the gate and we run as fast as we can and we give it all we got and it's over. No, this is an endurance race. There will be trials. There will be tests. There will be setbacks. And the word patience, run with patience, the race set before us, is the word used as perseverance, endurance. This is, without a doubt, an endurance race. And that's why the Bible said, he that endures till the end, amen, the same shall have eternal life. The crown of life is given to the one who wins the race because they persevere and they endure. Hallelujah. Listen, the heaven-bound church is a church with their eyes upon the prize of the high calling. That's what Paul talked about, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth. You see this seeking and setting of our heart and our desires and our thoughts. Forgetting the things that are behind, the former life when we lived, we were of the devil and we served the devil and we were in the world and we were of the world. But Jesus said, you're not of the world anymore. You don't belong to Satan. He doesn't rule and therefore sin doesn't reign. Glory to God. We're not perfect. We have battles with our flesh. But listen, friend of mine, we are to persevere, amen, by setting our affections on things above and not the things of the earth, because the earth passes away. And all of those things that people are going after wholeheartedly because they've set their heart and love upon them, amen, even to the point of putting their soul in jeopardy. It took Jesus back when he said, and what would man give? What in this world, literally, would a man give in exchange for his soul? He's talking about where we spend eternity. Amen. We're going to keep our soul, but it's going to spend eternity somewhere. Oh, friend of mine, this is so important as children of God that we do not give in to the pull of the world. I've used the term many times. I will use it many more as long as I have breath to speak it. We are upstream Christians in a downstream world. And it's going to require a real commitment. Seek those things above where Christ sits on the right hand of God, not the things of the earth. Set your affection on things above and not the things of the earth. And put to death the flesh and the desires of the flesh. Crucify the flesh. Deny yourself. That's what it means to crucify the flesh. Take up your cross and follow me. Praise God. I'm glad to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, a Christ follower, if you please, today. Amen. The Church of Laodicea, on the other hand, wouldn't even open the door to Jesus. It wasn't about Jesus. It was about what God could give them in the material and physical world. They were an earthbound church. Their testimony, I'm rich, increase with goods, and have need of nothing. No wonder they didn't welcome Jesus when he knocked and called. They were only interested in the physical and material, not the spiritual or the eternal. Heaven was not their goal. They were at home in the world. Instead of take this whole world and give me Jesus, they were give me this world and just throw in Jesus so when I die I can go to heaven. That's not how it works, dear friend. Amen. God is not a Santa Claus figure in the sky that you use the right faith formula and he will just give you anything that you want to keep you more centered upon this world. Friend, we need to persevere. No persecution to endure they had. No need to persevere. No devotion to Jesus. They worshiped the God of self and committed the ultimate idolatry. One of the last day signs that caused all of the trouble we're seeing right now is in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times will come, for men will become lovers of their own self. Lovers of pleasures, therefore, instead of lovers of God. And they fall into covetousness, which is idolatry according to the scriptures. They want what the world has because they are committed to the every desire of their flesh, and the flesh will go after everything Satan offers it in the terms of temptation at the expense of the faith itself. And we're told to put up a real fight to earnestly contend for the faith, the body of truth that was once delivered unto the saints. We used to sing it, but you don't hear a song with those kind of sentiments anymore. Take this whole world and give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. You see, the heaven-bound church perseveres and endures. And Philadelphia, the church at Philadelphia, was its template in Revelation 3 and verse 7. Let's read it together today. Unto the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. You can see in type here the door to the ark. When he opens it, no man can shut it. Even when the flood came, Noah didn't shut the door. None of Noah's group shut the door. God was the only one who could close the door that meant whether people lived or died. And in our case, salvation itself. It was a type as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be the day that the Son of Man cometh. The Bible said that once Noah and his family were inside that open door, hallelujah, God shut the door. And those poor people who had heard the gospel for all those years in type and foreshadow. They had heard the offer of God to deliver them from the judgment to come, and they had rejected it wholesale. And now the door was shut, and no man could open it. Thank God, when He opened the door, no man can shut it. And there's an open door, amen, to come to Jesus today, to everyone that will hear and give heed to the good news of the gospel of grace. I open a door. No, this is not a door of ministry, a door that is open to fulfill your calling. This is the door, amen, the door of the sheepfold is Jesus Christ, and through Him we go out and come in, and when that door is shut, we are safe inside. Hallelujah. When the storm of judgment is raging, we are safe inside, hid in Christ, in God. That's where I want to be. How about you today? Amen. Listen very carefully. I know thy works, he says in verse 8. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast, listen, kept my word, and not denied my name. Hallelujah. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, and do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Amen. And we don't have time to go into all of that, but listen to verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He said on another occasion, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. He's literally saying, because thou hast patiently endured and persevered and kept my word and not denied my name, I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation when the judgment falls upon the entire world. He said, you're going to be kept in a place of safety. You're going to be in the ark when the storms of judgment and the tidal waves of judgment come, you're going to be safe in the ark to ride out the storm because you have kept, hallelujah, my word and not denied my name. I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation. Praise God. I'm so glad to hear that today. I'm glad Noah is the example that he gave, because he opened the door. There was an open door. Go into the ark. Come. And that door is open right now. And Jesus interceding, not only for us, but for everyone. From the cross, he cried, Father, forgive them. The soldiers who nailed him to it, the people who authorized that terrible, terrible torture that he was going through, and the people that found sick pleasure in watching him writhe in pain on that cross, he prayed, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He interceded. That's why the judgment is going to be so severe. The price was paid at the cross by Christ and his suffering. And he not only paid the price, but he prayed for everyone on this planet that they would come to know him as their Savior. And this great salvation with Jesus on the cross and Jesus interceding, rejected, leaves God no alternative but to judge. Oh, friend of mine, what grace, what a window of opportunity, a door, if you please, that is wide open, held open by Christ's intercession. Thank God there's time to come to Jesus today. There's time to run to Jesus today. There's time to get into the ark today. He was told to build this great, great ship. I won't call it a boat. It was bigger than a boat, bigger than most yachts. Listen to me today. Amen. He was told when he finished it and had the roof on it to pitch it within and pitch it without. And that means seal every crack with bitumen is the word for pitch. Think of tar or something similar that seals every crack. Not only would they not be drowned by the flood, not one drop of that rain that came to represent the judgment of God would drop on the inside of that ark. It was completely watertight and water safe. Hallelujah. They didn't have to bail out when waves came over. It was built that none of that represented God's wrath and judgment would touch them. I love the scripture, don't you? In the New Testament said, we are not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. Today, I don't know, amen, what kind of Christian life you are living, but I pray that you're not living a compromised Christian life. I pray that you are not denying His name, that you are staying faithful to the faith today, that you are keeping the faith today. And the way to do that is to make sure that you're seeking the things that are above and setting your affection, amen, upon those things that are above and putting to death your members upon the earth, saying no to the flesh, saying no to temptation, saying yes to God's will, yes to Christ's lordship in your life. Because thou hast patiently endured and persevered, kept my word and not denied my name, I'm going to keep you just like he kept Noah and his family from the hour of testing that will touch in a most horrendous, horrifying way, every human being left on this earth when it occurs. Thank God we are kept by the power of God until the day of salvation, because we're kept by the person that He has sent to redeem us, hallelujah, to seal us with the Holy Spirit, to keep us safe from the wrath to come. Oh, Christian, I encourage you today to be part of a heaven-bound church where you don't just hear about the material and the physical over and over and over and over. Amen. The earth-bound church does not regard him nor heaven. Friend of mine, the heaven-bound church is all about him and all about heaven, where he sits on the right hand of God, and we sit with Him, and we live with Him in the place He's provided for us, age without end. Hallelujah. I'm heaven bound. How about you today? Glory to God. When we all get to heaven, love the song. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. Amen. We're past the gates. We're in the city. Get over it. It's about Him who gave His life for us. Amen. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory and give Him the glory and cast our crowns at His feet. For without Him, we would have never made heaven our home. The reason we persevere is because we're looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher, the Alpha, the Omega of our faith today. Hallelujah. Oh, friend, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, The Bible says that you, as we were, we as we all that have come to Christ were at one time, without God and without hope in the world. Oh, friend, where will you go in the hour of testing, in this time of tribulation? It's timed, it's set, it's coming, it's near. But so is the coming of the Lord for His bride and His church. Today, the door of the ark has been opened by Christ's sacrifice at the cross, held open by His intercession. The Bible said He's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. So come today. Run to Jesus today. Repent of your sin. Receive Him as your Savior. The door is open. Don't wait till the door is shut. This is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I know if you don't know the Lord that God is dealing with you. The Holy Spirit is drawing you. Don't tell Him no again. He's drawn you before, and you look back towards Sodom. You look back to the world. He's drawing you now. If you're a backslider, I know He's drawing you, calling you. Come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Listen, Jesus is calling. Answer the call and become part of the chosen. Hallelujah. Amen. Come to Christ today. If you're away from God, come back to God today. Come back to the foot of the cross. Rekindle the first love for Him, and He will keep you until the day of redemption by the power of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God. Hallelujah. We love you so very much. I'm so glad to be a preacher that gets the privilege of pastoring a heaven-bound church. God bless you and yours today. Come back. Come back to our website. God is speaking. The Spirit is speaking. And hear what the Spirit is saying through the Word to the church today. In Jesus' name, amen.